The following is a questions and answers session given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari, recorded on December 23rd, 2017, in Warrandyte, Australia.
Hare Krishna. Om Ajnanti Girandasya Jnananjana Shalakri Chakshurum Nitamena Tasmai Shri Guravye Namaha. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for providing us the opportunity to sit in this place and even discuss spiritual topics with you. We seek your permission to go ahead and continue this session for the pleasure of the Lordship and for the spiritual master and the future souls. Since morning, we've had a wonderful time. There was a splendid discourse that we heard from you, and we had a very sublime time in the river hearing your songs. And I actually insist the devotees to actually give us the writing so that these songs can become famous, and all over the world people can listen to these songs and get the bliss out of it. So with this, your grace, we are, as you know, this topic is about simple living and not simply living. So considering that family life is a pivotal to the society in these days, what do you think is the significance of family life in today's civilization when it comes to the matter of society or building a nation or that matter for a universe based on scriptural injunction? So what is its significance of being having a family in the first place?
Family life is what brings us. That's how we're born, because there's family. So family life is there in all the species. At least in the animals, you see they're all, it's not, you know, the female bird sits in the nest and the male bird gets the worm. It's not some great thing. Family life in itself is not great. The animals also have family life. But what you do with it, if you use it for Krishna, then it becomes significant. Otherwise, it has no significance. It's just the animal life. So if we use family life in Krishna's service, then the whole family becomes liberated. I know we had... When I first joined the temple in Austin, when we had one brahmachari from Los Angeles spend some time with us, Jai Gopal Das, Das Adhikari. So he went back to LA and he was killed in an automobile accident. Prabhupada told his wife, "He's waiting for you in Vaikuntha." So if you make Krishna the center of your family, the family becomes a very auspicious thing. Otherwise, it's just like animal life. Family life in itself has no significance. But using it for Krishna, it becomes very wonderful thing.
Thank you, Your Grace. That was a splendid answer. And we've known since morning how you've been instructing us to implement this instruction of God of Krishna in the center of our lives. Having said that, Mahan, do you have a further question on this podcast?
Thank you. Because we see a lot of families have a very common dream of building a big house, owning two cars, having a good job, sending kids to schools, etc. But in the pursuit of fulfilling this dream, we see the absence of satisfaction. People might
say what?
Absence of satisfaction.
Satisfaction.
Peace is missing.
Yeah.
People are getting maybe wealthier, but the satisfaction and the peace in the family is missing. You know, there's arguments, there's fights. So why is there no satisfaction, notwithstanding so much of hard labor?
What are we?
We're talking about the families in general. Yeah. Go to office, earn a living.
Yeah, they're working very hard, but they're not satisfied. So what's the question?
They're looking for something else inside.
Well, it's a simple thing, because Krishna is not there. The human being is meant for self-realization. If he makes all material arrangements, but he doesn't become self-realized, there's no way he's going to be happy. It's very common, you know, tato brahma jigyasa. You got a human form. If you're not using it for self-realization as you're meant to use it for self-realization, I don't care how wealthy or how aristocratically you're situated or how well-educated you are, kids with some Harvard degree, it's useless without Krishna consciousness.
So, that being the case, when he tried to give the knowledge of Krishna consciousness to these families, we see a lot of, some people of course receptive.
Some people
are receptive.
Yeah.
But the majority seems to be against it.
See
they have another solution. So why is the mindset like that?
Because we came to this world rejecting Krishna. So this is the world of people who rejected Krishna. It's natural that most people will reject Krishna, because that's why we came here, to reject Krishna, because we rejected Krishna. Some people realize their mistake, I shouldn't have rejected Krishna, I have accepted. But that's a very small percentage. Manushanam sahasreshu kashtit yatati siddhaye. Out of thousands among men, one may endeavor for spiritual perfection. Out of a thousand who endeavor for spiritual perfection, hardly even one will become Krishna conscious. So it's very, very rare. It's a very rare thing. But by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, it can become universal. That's the special dispensation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that we're praying to Lord Chaitanya that we can attract these people to Krishna. But it's very, very difficult. Very, very difficult business.
I like the point you made that the fact that we are in the material world is because we have rejected Krishna. And therefore it is not surprising that the majority of people are not willing to accept Krishna consciousness as the solution. So if for the one who does accept, and keeping in mind the theme for the retreat, simple living, not simply living, how does a lifestyle of a simple living family versus a lifestyle of a simply living family appear? What do they do in the two different families, a simple living family and a simply living family?
The Krishna conscious family difference? Yeah, it's very simple. They chant Hare Krishna, they offer their food to Krishna, they don't waste their time with frivolous activities. Instead of going to Disney World, they'd rather go to the temple. Things like that. They're not so interested in all these mundane things.
Thank you, Chris, for the wonderful answer. The point of contention goes on in my mind because we've heard this a thousand times, that to put Krishna in the center and to be Krishna conscious most of the times, but nevertheless, when devotees are practicing Krishna consciousness, they still feel the gap, or they don't taste the bliss, that they can derive out of Krishna consciousness. What are your points to say, why are they missing out on the bliss, or does it take time, and so, or is there something wrong in the process itself?
You're talking about somebody who's practicing Krishna consciousness but not feeling satisfied? Is that what you're saying? That means they're not doing it properly. They're not practicing it properly. One is, they haven't been well trained how to actually practice Krishna consciousness properly, you see. So that's why having a guru is very important, a bona fide guru, and learning from the bona fide spiritual master and from senior Vaishnavas. If one simply does some quasi Krishna consciousness but not full Krishna consciousness, they're naturally not going to be fully satisfied.
Thank you, Yogesh. That really helps understand better. But Guru Mataji, just adding on to what Ahitra said, we also see
they are not satisfied with Krishna consciousness because they are not serious about it. And their goal is still, they want to get something out of practicing Krishna consciousness, something material. So they cannot be satisfied.
So that's the reason. So you said because the seriousness is not indulged into the process itself.
They still have hidden motives. So one day, some or other, a volcano erupts.
Thank you very much, Guru Maharaj. But did you also say that at least they have taken up the process, so will there be a time that they might realize that I need to get serious now, or is it going to be a long time?
I could say that if you have done anything little bit, if you have accumulated for the next life, you have to come back to take birth and go through the same cycle, learn everything material, if you have a material parent, go through the hard working and everything, and if there is an opportunity, then you may take it. Many devotees go out for full distribution. Human life is meant for taking up Krishna consciousness. They have gotten many more opportunities now to take up Krishna consciousness. But what they are doing, even if there is an opportunity, the devotee brings it. How many are willing to take it? So that can happen to us also. We are not making this life successful.
Yeah, so the life is at stake. That's what you're saying, indicating actually. Madananda, when you said people have two cars, and obviously you're talking about the lifestyle. Guru Maharaj, do you think a lifestyle plays a very important role in practicing Krishna consciousness? Is practicing austerity or austere life helping me in Krishna consciousness, or is it okay to have? Or is it okay to have a little bit of opulence, but at the same time be Krishna conscious, or it has nothing to do with it?
Not a little bit. All Krishna conscious live a life comfortably, but not extravagantly. When you want to live extravagantly, that means you have to work hard and your time and karma is accumulating. How many hours you give for Krishna every day? You can't even give it 2 hours. How serious you are?
It's almost like investment banking, isn't it? What is the time you're investing in your fixed deposit account that's going to
You give 26 hours for temporary stuff, and you can't even give 2 hours for the permanent.
That's
the hope?
That's a very striking point. Thank you. You have
anything? So, Guru, if somebody can, somebody is naturally, maybe out of his pious activities in the past, is naturally quite wealthy without doing too much of extra endeavor. So what would be the lifestyle of such a devotee who has got a lot of wealth, but at the same time he aspires to be Krishna conscious?
Well, if he's really Krishna conscious, all this, he will understand that I am not the proprietor of this money. This is Krishna's property. Let me use it. If he really aspires, that is real.
So, His Grace, what we see a lot of time is people get quite excited and enthused about Krishna consciousness at the beginning. They come with almost like full force. But in between the process, they kind of tone down and become disinterested. Given Krishna consciousness is spiritual, why is that some people not finding so exciting at some point in time in their life?
Because they came in a... The mud of passion is nectar in the beginning and poison in the end. The mud of goodness is poison in the beginning and nectar in the end. So for someone who simply comes, they're all fired up, all enthusiastic, and after a while they fizzle out, that means they were practicing in the mud of passion. So it's okay to have that enthusiasm, but you have to cultivate sattva guna along with your enthusiasm. I saw a good example of that. There was one boy who used to come to our center in Austin. He was very fired up to read the Bhagavatam. He wouldn't chant japa. He just wanted to read the Bhagavatam. He came every week to tell us what he was reading about, but he refused to chant. And after another few weeks, he lost his interest also in reading. So he wanted to, there was a certain passion of getting all this new knowledge, but he didn't want to meditate on the name of Krishna. So if you just take it passionately, you don't cultivate the meditative, contemplative, devotional mood along with your enthusiasm to interact with devotees and do this and do that, you see, then it goes away. So, coming to a big retreat, it's like a It satisfies the passionate urge to go to some place, go to the side of the river, blah, blah, blah. But if you don't cultivate the contemplative mood, actually, to hear from the sadhus, you see what I'm saying? You have to learn how to hear. Otherwise, you won't be here very long. Hearing means cultivating that contemplative, meditative mood. Hearing the lecture, taking the kirtan, hearing the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. That hearing means you're cultivating the mode of goodness. In the beginning, it's a little hard to get it enlivened by it, but as you start going into it, it becomes very, very enlivening. And it actually takes you into pure goodness gradually, which is unlimitedly enlivening.
Talking about young children and boys, Guru Mata, this talking with a lot of devotees at the temple, this was quite a common question in which they asked a lot of things regarding, you know, how to raise children in Krishna consciousness. And the general view was that it's pretty easy to, you know, engage them in Krishna consciousness from the beginning till they are maybe around 8 years old. And then it starts getting harder after they are 8 years old, possibly up till the age of 18. And good luck if they are over 18 years and still engaged in Krishna consciousness. So how to raise children, you know, in this different age band, and how to deal with them when they become a little bit rebellious as they grow up?
To raise the Krishna consciousness, one has to prepare oneself in Krishna consciousness. So then you have a good progeny and it's easy. But if you have not prepared yourself in that basic principle first, then it will be difficult. Because everybody has their own, they're born under the different modes of nature, and they're going to act accordingly. So it depends on the parents. That's why there is a regulating principle of observing, of having appropriation. So that must be observed by the parents. In Krishna consciousness, we have like 50 rounds. Both man and a woman, both chants 50 rounds. And then engaging, except during that execution, this is the... But otherwise, in the Vedic culture, it is a very big process. But at least in Krishna consciousness, 50 rounds.
So what I'm hearing, Guru Mata, is, you know, there is a proactive way of dealing with this. You know, if the husband and wife are engaged in Krishna consciousness, and each of them chant 50 rounds before appropriation, then, you know, there's a likelihood of a more pious soul coming in the family and less headache thereafter to raise kids. And in those cases where we want the reactive solution for those couples that may have already got kids and then got engaged themselves in Krishna consciousness, then what's the reactive solution?
The reactive solution, you can take the horse to the water, but you cannot make him drink. Whatever the most. This is what Krishna says to Arjuna also. You're going to fight anyway. And that most of passion, you are born like Kshatriya, you're going to act anyway. But you're going to act according to my instructions. You will be victorious, otherwise you will be a failure. So that's what happens. We can train them, but they whatever the most they have achieved, that's what they're going to act.
I don't know, when we were talking with devotees, another thing that was coming quite common was about children and disciplining them, especially when they are, you know, not willing to be Krishna consciousness. So, do you want to summarize what was the viewpoint?
Many a times when we speak to devotees, there's a big question of how to discipline kids, especially devotee kids. Now that we are in devotional life, we do not want to take a normal way of disciplining children, like putting them in a dark corner or something like that. But if you can guide us on some practical tips of a Vedic way of disciplining children, I know it's for the purity of the parents itself in the first place, but if you can give us some tips on how to really discipline them in minor circumstances when the children really rebel, or in some ways to teach them how to follow instructions from their parents or from the spiritual master or from the guru.
They will act only according to the modes they have taken. They won't be there, otherwise they become more rebellious. cannot force anybody. Krishna consciousness is voluntary. So all the men and women who want to get a progeny, they must cultivate their Krishna consciousness first before expecting for progeny. That is the simple solution. And after you have gotten it, you can do that. It will be a difficult situation. Very difficult situation. It's out of your hands. You want to be the controller, you can't control. So.
Yeah, that was a nice answer, Gurumadhi. Thank you very much. But it at least gives me a hope, at least as a parent, at least the parents can become Krishna consciousness by this process, by
then
which they can actually
maybe
deliver.
If they awaken up, just like Ajamil. Ajamil was born in good parents, but by bad association, he fell down. But if he had done anything in his childhood, what he did, he got little benefit at the end of his life, which was he was able to awaken his Krishna consciousness. So it is not that we neglect the children when we have already gotten them. They may become rebellious in the so-called of age, what they call it, teenage and in middle age state. But if they are fortunate, they'll come back.
Thank you.
So engage the kids as much as they can in the Kumara Achar primary.
Thank you very much, Guru Mahathir. Thinking about that, we know there's a lot of discussions about homeschooling and whether to send them to schools generally. Your Grace, we know Prabhupada writes, sending your children to schools is like sending them to slaughterhouses. He writes it in Srimad Bhagavatam in the first few chapters, first canto. What are your views on sending children to schools or either homeschooling them?
Homeschooling is the best. Either sending them to a devotee school or homeschooling. There's a whole book, Arudha, was it? Arudha Maharaji has written.
Arudha.
Huh? Arudha. Arudha, yes. She decided to homeschool her little boy Ravi Gupta. And at age 13, he went to the university. And he became a PhD. Now he's a big PhD, university professor, very Krishna conscious boy. And then his younger brother also, he was homeschooled. So homeschooling is the best. The wife stays home instead of working a job. What's more important, your kid's liberation or more money? Money, sweeter than honey. That's a material philosophy. Most important thing is you make your children Krishna conscious. So homeschooling is the best. You follow Arudha Mataji's program and your kids will be greatly blessed. And you can talk to Madhavananda. His own wife is doing that. She has a website. What is it called? Homeschooling.org? Huh? Talk to Madhavananda. His wife is doing it. Where's the result? Where's the boy? Very Krishna conscious little boy. Plays a very nice bhadanga also.
Thank you, Yogis. That explains a lot, but for people who are forced to go to a job because it's an obligation that they need to work, what prescription can you suggest saying, there is a...
They can't homeschool because the parents both work?
They have to because of...
Because they... They bought a house which is more than they could really afford. Oh my God.
Reading between the lines.
Perhaps they can afford that child they have brought
him. Well, you could sell your house and get a cheaper house. That's one thing you could do. Or, I don't know, we'll just pray for you, that's all. I'll pray for you. Somehow or other, your children won't go to hell. I'll pray for you. Do your best. All I can say is do your best. But it's very difficult. These kids get trained up in the material schools. very bad training. They're, you know, the whole modern science is atheistic. It's atheistic. So they're trained in atheism at the school. What's that? And it's very difficult to make them Krishna conscious when they're being trained. They're being trained 8 hours a day, or what is it, 6 hours a day? 8 hours a day?
6.5 hours.
6.5 hours a day they're being trained in atheism by a teacher who's a meat eater and a sex monger, even. I know when I went to high school, we had what was called homeroom. Our homeroom teacher was an atheist. In those days, we used to say the Lord's Prayer in the schools in America. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be. We'd pray to God every day at the beginning of the school day. But our homeroom teacher, he turned his back. He wouldn't participate. He was an atheist. But then one lady from Austin, Texas, where I live now, named Madeline O'Hare, she said, I don't want my kids to have to pray at school. So the U.S. Supreme Court was very kind to facilitate Madeline O'Hare's kids not having to pray. They said, okay, no kids in the whole U.S. can pray now at school anymore. So why don't they let one kid go out of the room? Instead of sending the kid out of the room, he doesn't have to hear the prayer, they decided don't let any kids in the whole United States ever pray again at school. Now praying is illegal in the schools in the U.S. They probably don't do it in Australia, if any of them. But why they don't put God in the center of their educational system? They don't put God in the center, and therefore their educational system is pollutes the mind. So you have a lot of work to do if you want to make your kids Krishna conscious when they're going to public school. You have a lot of work to do to counteract 6.5 hours of brainwashing of your kids. You have a lot of work to do. You have to do a lot of heavy, you have to do very powerful preaching. All I can say, you got to preach very powerfully. You have to be very, very convinced, and you have to preach very, very powerfully to counteract what they're hearing in the school. The kid has to believe you instead of what they're hearing in the school. And they may not. They may believe the teachers instead of you. So you got to look out.
Not only the teachers.
Huh?
Their friends also.
Yeah, their friends also, or the public school. The friends are talking about girls, they're talking about maybe drugs. You know, the kids take drugs. They have illicit sex relationships, and all these things are going on. So your kids will be exposed to all of this, and they'll be encouraged to try it by the fellows of the schoolmates. That's the reality.
Thank you, Chris. But on the other side, a common argument we see for homeschooling is, they say, well, how will the child socialize if you don't send them out? You're kind of insulating him from the outside world, but that's where he's going to live.
Not insulation, it's
it's an isolation.
Isolation, insulation. Yeah, because, say, well, if you don't let your kid go to eat, you could say, well, I'm not letting my kid experience McDonald's. You know, he's not, I don't let him go to McDonald's and eat hamburgers, so I'm denying him the experience of eating hamburgers at McDonald's or going to get drunk at the bar. So if I'm really a loving parent, I'll let my kid eat hamburgers, I'll let him, you know, have him smoke marijuana and take LSD so he can experience everything, right? You have to understand we're living in a demoniac atmosphere, and if you can say, well, I should let my kid experience everything. But I hear it's interesting. There's a religious group in the U.S. called the Amish, and they're very insulated or isolated, whatever you want to call them. They very much have their own culture, their own way of dressing. It's a very different culture than American culture, and they're very strong. Now, what they do with their kids, they don't call them Amish until they let them go out and try living in the outside world and see if they like it better than Amish culture. But most of them come back. And then they consider them Amish. I don't suggest that we do that, but say, go out and be a karmic for a while and come back if you like Krishna consciousness better. But I don't really suggest we should do that. But that's just an example of the of this group of people who really wants to make their kids Amish. And they don't really force them. They're willing to let them try the other thing. So it's a very difficult thing. Because they all around they see kids who are doing this and that and this and that. And they want to be like the other kids. See, that's the problem. You send them to school, they want to be like the other kids. They want to fit into the group of the kids. Do everything else the other kids are doing, everything else they're talking about. That's why sending them outside is very difficult. Now you have to deal with this whole thing. You're not going to let them do what the other kids are doing. You know, it's a very, very difficult situation. But I would just preach to them and tell them that you have to yourself be convinced that this material culture is practically being dead. It's a dead culture. It's taking you out of this animal kingdom in your next life. The parents have to be themselves convinced. They should be initiated disciples. They should be absolutely convinced that without Krishna consciousness, this life is animal existence. And they have to pass that conviction on to their children. That's all I can say. Prabhupada went to public school. Of course, the public schools were different. And, you know, back in the early, back in, you know, 1920 or whatever it was. When Prabhupada went to public school, 1910, the public schools in India were much more religious than they are now, of course. Now the public schools, it's just horrible, horrible atmosphere for the children. Horrible atmosphere.
Thank you, Your Grace. We can understand that the bar is set quite high. And when you come to family life inside of home, we know a lot of questions have asked also been about how do we then, recreation is one of the parts which people want to have in their lives as well. So what are your viewpoints that you want to be addressed about recreation?
Yeah, so, what do you want to do about that? In terms of...
Before you ask me any question, I just wanted to say something about sure. Amish family. Amish family does not send their children until they are grown up, mature. Until then, they are living their simple life with a horse buggy. They don't use car, they don't use any material things. They do their own farming and all that. Mm-hmm. When they are grown up, then they send them out. Not that they go to the material school.
Yeah, that's right.
There is nothing like
that. Yeah, they don't even use, I saw the Amish boy, they don't even use, they're against motors. I saw a young Amish boy mowing the yard using a horse, not a horse-pulled mower, like a little tractor. No, they don't use gasoline engines. They're really against all this modern technology. Quite an interesting culture, Amish culture.
They
don't use cars, horse and buggy. It's amazing that you go to the in Pennsylvania where the Amish are. No car, horse and buggy.
Thank you for that. And that sounds pretty exciting. I'm sure some of you have probably want to take up the challenge, you know, of having a so simple lifestyle, moving away from your Toyota and Mazda and all that will be my day. In the interest of time, Guru, I'm going to ask you the big question. And then we'll open it, you know, to the forum to, you know, ask your questions. Hopefully it's relevant to the topic today, simply living. The big question that I have is, and it might not be relevant to most of you, but theoretically speaking, if there are arguments between husband and wife, I'm sure you have more experiences, but if there are arguments about husband, a lot of time there are differences in opinion, and we think, you know, even after taking up the process of Krishna consciousness, we continue to have time to time some ego clash. How to deal with this, you know, when, and you mentioned previously about that we want to be the controllers of our kids. I think the same mentality also also comes in when we want to be the controllers of the spouse. So when there are ego clashes like this, then how to deal with this? Can you give us some tips that can make the lifestyle more simple?
Your question was asked by a reporter to Prabhupada. And what Prabhupada said, man and a woman take the decision of Krishna, not my and your. Then there won't be any clashes.
I think men and women are so smart that they still find ways to clash. Even when it's about Krishna. For example, let's say in a yogi life, without being endeavorous, the wife wants to go and do a lot of service at the temple. Whereas the husband wants nice prasadam to be ready for breakfast. We want to move away from conflicts and help us rain and all that. Do we need some pan puri or some, something more opulent for breakfast, for lunch? And when we come away from home, we want nice. And then the wife also expects the husband to be helping in the kitchen and all that. And when you take all the stress from the office, then even in the Krishna consciousness cycle, time to time for some pastime and lila, they are fine. So how to avoid this?